So appreciate those songs. You know, it's in times like these that we really come to realize how much we need the Lord. You know, I heard a story recently about a little boy. He wanted to wash his cat. Now, I know that, you know, how cats are, this is going to be a funny story. This little boy, he went to the store and he bought some Tide detergent. And so he goes in there and the cashier asks the boy, "It's nice of you to be running errands for your parents. Do you do laundry at your house?" And the boy said, I'm not washing clothes. I'm washing my cat." Well, the cashier explained to the boy that Tide was not good for washing cats. But the boy, he refused to listen. The next time the boy came to the store, the cashier asked him, "Well, how's your cat?" The boy hung his head in sadness and said, "My cat died." So the cashier said, "I'm sorry to hear that your cat died. Did it die from the tide that you washed it in?" And the boy said, "No, I don't think it was a tide. I think it was the spin cycle." I don't know about you, but I'm sure most of us feel like 2020 has been a spin cycle. But I'm thankful that the Lord, in His Word, has given us some truths that can help us survive, not only survive the spin cycle, but to thrive through the spin cycle. I want you to look in Psalm 37 if you have your Bible. Let's turn to Psalm 37. This is no doubt one of my favorite psalms, and I don't have a favorite because there's so many of them. I almost just want to say I love the whole book of Psalms, but this is a great psalm. This is a psalm of wisdom written by David, and I thought that this would be a great psalm for us to look at as we face a new school year, because we certainly need God's wisdom as we start a new school year with so many unknowns. I'm going to read the first seven verses in Psalm 37 if you'd like to follow along with me in your Bible. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for this time that we can gather here as a church to worship you. Lord, you're certainly worthy of our worship. You're worthy of us to not just sing praises to you, but Lord, to love you with all of our hearts and to give you our full attention now as we go to your word. Father, I pray that you would just open our hearts and minds this morning. Lord, help us to lay aside the distractions. Lord, help us to focus this morning on what you have for us, the wisdom that you're giving us as we go forward into this fall semester of school. And Lord, we've got an election coming up and so many things that create anxiety in our lives and fear. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've given a word to me from Psalm 37, to share with your people, to feed your people with these truths, so that we can hang on to these truths and live by these truths. And Lord, that we can survive this spin cycle that we've been in this year and thrive in it as your people. Lord, I think about through history how your people, your church has thrived in times of persecution and difficult times. Because it's in those times, Lord, that we get serious about our relationship with you. It's in those times that we seek your face with all of our hearts. It's in those times that we realize that there's nothing in this world that we can trust in to give us security. But only you give us that security. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do this morning. I pray you'd use your word, use your servant. And I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know the story of Corrie ten Boom? I'm sure many of you do. Corrie, she grew up back during World War II, and she grew up in a very godly family. They were of the Dutch Reformed Church. And her family was a special family because back during that time when Hitler was in Germany in power, the Nazis were gathering up Jewish people and taking them to concentration camps. And history tells us that more than 6 million Jews were slaughtered by the Nazis. Well, Corrie ten Boom's family, being a godly family that they were, they loved God's chosen people, Israel and the Jews. And so they secretly would take in Jews into their home and hide them and get them to safety. And during that time, I believe her family saved nearly 800 Jews from being slaughtered. Just her family alone. What a difference her family made. The sad part in the story is that they were betrayed by some fellow Dutch neighbors that lived nearby. And so they were arrested. Her entire family was sent to prison. Now, Corrie survived this imprisonment, and she started a worldwide ministry, which is later told in her book called The Hiding Place. And I would recommend, if you haven't read that book, read the book The Hiding Place. A tremendous book. They also have the movie, I think it's a documentary. You can find that on Netflix, I believe. And that would also be a great thing to watch. But here's what she said. You know, she went through all that time of the Nazis, and I mean, it was no doubt a hard time for God's people at that time, and being in prison and seeing her family die through this. But this is what she once said, and this is going to be the theme of the message, so you might want to write this down. I'm sure you may have heard this quote from her before, but this is what she said. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." I'll say it again so you can write it down if you're writing it down. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And I want that to resonate with all of our kids, all of our young people that are going to school, all of you parents, all of you grandparents, and all of you concerned adults that may not have any children or grandchildren going to school. But I know you care about our kids that are going to school here at Bible Baptist. And so I want you to think about this truth that Corrie ten Boom learned in the midst of persecution and trial. To never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You know, right now, if you've watched any of the news or anything, you know that there's turmoil in our world today. You know, there's a lot of pressure brought against us daily. And a lot of it is fear-mongering. There's a lot of fear being pushed by the media and by all kinds of people, by Satan himself. But I want you to remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Keep that in mind. God does not give us the spirit of fear. Never are we to fear. We are his people. And, you know, oftentimes that, you know, we look about us and even people, even preachers today, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I don't want to cause more anxiety and fear on your part, but some are saying this fall is going to get bad. I don't know. They don't know. They don't know. You know, when I hear messages like that, and I hear them creating fear, even in God's people, it bothers me because I know what the Bible says. That we're not to fear. 365 times they say in the Bible, God says, do not fear or fear not. That's one for every day. We should not fear. We should not have anxiety and worry. Many times I've cried out to God. I said, God, what do you want me to do? And you know what God said? Simply, just rest in me. Just rest in me. And so parents and students and grandparents, I just want to say to you, don't be anxious about this unknown future. It is filled with unknowns. I will say that. There are a lot of unknowns. I mean, it's been that way forever, since the beginning of time. But now when we add COVID into the picture, yes, it even complicates it. There are possibilities. We all know there are possibilities of difficulties, interruptions, and the need for more of God's grace. But I'm thankful that God's grace is sufficient. I'm thankful that God's grace is sufficient. Parents, He has enough grace to help you, to guide your children through this season of life. There's enough grace in God to do that. And He loves you and He thinks on you, as we looked at in Jeremiah 29:11. His thoughts are on us, and it's not for evil, it's for good, it's for peace. You know, I want to just say, however, that this year is not going to be easy. Life is not easy. I would be a liar if I said, oh, this is going to be such an easy year. It's going to be a breeze for all of us. You know, the Bible tells us that we live in a sinful, broken world. Because of sin, there's sorrow, there's grief, there's heartache, there's, Jesus said himself, in the world you shall have tribulation. We've got to realize that. You know, we as Americans, we have been so spoiled with prosperity that we have come to expect that if God loves us, things are going to always be good in our life. But that's a lie. God does love us, no matter what. But God allows us to go through difficulty. He allows us to go through trials. And He allows people to make choices in this life. And many times it's sinful choices, and there are consequences to those choices. And so we have a broken, sinful world. And so it's never going to be, it's never going to be easy. Life's never going to be easy. Nothing's perfect in this world. And we have an enemy, Satan, who does not want us to fulfill God's plan for us and purpose. But I do want to encourage you today, in light of that fact, that we are going to go through hard times in the Christian life, not just because COVID, not just because of some of the changes that are coming, but this is true before COVID. This is true after COVID. That there are going to be hard times. I want to encourage you to rest in the Lord. As the scripture tells us, to rest in the Lord for courage and wisdom and direction. You know, God is good. And some people say, yes, God's good all the time. You know, He is. He really is. You know, in this 7 verses, there's 5 imperative verbs. There's 5 commands. And we're going to look at these this morning. I think we need to take hold of these truths because we're going to need them. When things get hard, when you get fearful, when you get anxious, when you begin to worry, When you get in that dark place in your life, you're going to need these truths to help you. You know, David knew trials and suffering. David knew, and he learned through those times in his life to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord, you know. Do not be afraid of an unknown future, but trust in a known God. Amen. The first command is found in verse 1, fret not. This is the only negative command. The others are positive. This is the negative. He's telling us something we ought not to do. Fret not. Amen. You know, this fretting David knew about, it's, and he knew that it's hard not to fret. I want to tell you, it's hard not to do that. Even for me as a pastor, as a Christian, it's hard not to fret. You know, this wouldn't be in the Bible if it was easy. It's hard, and I don't know if you noticed, but it's also in verse 7, fret not. We didn't read verse 8, but it's in verse 8, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Three times it's mentioned. Why is it mentioned three times? Because it's hard to do. You know, I believe that even Jesus and Paul command us not to fret, not to worry. They may not use the word fret, but they use other words like be careful for nothing, which has the same idea. And if you've been paying attention to anything that's going on, there are plenty of reasons for us to fret. Plenty of reasons to fret. Charles Spurgeon, he tells us that to fret is to worry, to have the heart burn, to fume, to become vexed. And so here are some adjectives that fret would mean: angry, irritated, agitated, annoyed. Those all would speak to what it means to fret. So he's telling us, don't be angry. Don't be irritated. Don't be agitated. Don't be annoyed by what's going on in our lives. Don't be disturbed. And in particular, he's talking about with the wicked. I mean, we can look and see the wicked at every hand. We can see what's going on. And it's, he said, don't be envious of them. Don't fret about it. You know, the best weapon that we have for overcoming this fretting over life, fretting over an unknown future, fretting over hard times, and the best weapon we have is trusting God. I just keep trusting my Lord. That's the best weapon to overcome fret. It's just to trust my Lord. To trust that God does indeed love me. To trust that God does indeed work out all things together for my good. Even in hurtful things. To trust in God's character, who He is, that He is merciful, that He is gracious, He's full of compassion. God is love. That's our Father. That's our God. To trust in His plan. You know, we may not be able to understand His plan. I may be kind of messing this up, but I know there's some quote that's something like this. We may not understand His plan, but we need to trust His heart. Trust His heart. Some of you kids, you don't understand sometimes why your parents ask you to do something or maybe ask you not to do something. You may not understand. Well, why? Trust their heart. They care about you. They love you. Same way is true with our God. I mean, there's a lot of times we're like, why, God? Why? Why are you bringing me through this? Why do I have to go through these hard times? Why do I have to experience this? Just trust his heart. Fret not. Faith cures fretting. You know, I expect that most of us will never completely stop fretting. But we can grow in our faith. We can grow in our faith and fret less and less. I want you to look at the second command. It's found in verse 3. Trust. Trust. So the first one's fret not. The second's trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. As I said, a fretful heart is not a trusting heart. If you want to overcome fretting, then you need to follow this next command. Trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in God. When you start fretting, rush to the Lord and take refuge in him. You know, this word trust has the idea of someone taking refuge. And it says we're to take refuge in the Lord. He is our place of safety. When you feel like fearful, run to the Lord. Look at him as your place of refuge. Look at him as one you can trust. When you are in the Lord's presence and you run to the Lord and you put your trust in him, guess what? He gives you peace. You know, Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. But then verse 7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that carefulness, that fretfulness, that he said, don't do it. Don't be fretful. Don't be careful about all these things. And don't be worried about what it's going to be like, kids, this week or next week, or how it's going to be, or if you're going to, don't worry about the teachers that you're going to have or friends you're going to make. Just trust in the Lord. Just look to him. Trust him. He's got it all figured out. He's already got it all planned out, and he's going to take care of you. You know, as we read in Jeremiah 29:11, he has only good plan for us, not evil. So we need to trust God for the unknown. You can trust an unknown future to a known God. It's like Corrie Ten Boom said. Trusting for any problems that may come up in your future. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. I want you to look back in Jeremiah, and if you would go to chapter 32. This is a great verse for you to memorize. Chapter 32, verse 17. I love this verse, and you got to realize, again, this is the context of the captivity, and I mean, it was rough. It was a rough time. And Jeremiah says here, oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, think about this, what he's saying. Jeremiah is acknowledging God's power that God made. He stretched forth the heavens and the earth. Think of the power of God. What he's saying, there's nothing too big for God. There's no problem too big for God. There's nothing out there in our unknown future that's too big for God. Nothing. We need to realize that there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. That should give us a little bit of assurance and peace going forward. I don't know what next week's going to bring. I don't know what November's going to bring in our election. I don't know any of these things, but I do know that God knows. And all I need to do is trust in him. I need to stop fretting about everything and just trust in God. You know, you'll notice that he says, trust in the Lord and do good. He adds that to this trusting, you know, because you know why? Because trust is a verb. Faith is a verb. What is a verb? It's action. So trust is not just non-action. It's action. Trust in the Lord and do good. Faith and trust involve action. It's a lifestyle. Charles Spurgeon, I want to quote him again. He said, "True faith is actively obedient. Doing good is a fine remedy for fretting." I like that. That's another way to overcome fretting is doing good. He said, "There is a joy in holy activity which drives away the rust of discontent." So true faith is obedient. Obedient to do good. All the good things God's commanded us to do. And you'll notice that when we do this, when we trust in the Lord, when we do good, I want you to notice what he says here. In verse 3, "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." This is a promise. That when we trust in the Lord and just focus on doing good, doing what God called us to do, shining our lights, just not giving up hope, but keep serving Jesus, keep trusting Jesus, keep trusting my Lord, doing good, guess what? He's going to feed us. He's going to take care of us. So one preacher that's saying that we should all start stocking up a lot of food and ammo, getting ready for this fall. I'm not saying it's a bad idea not to have some food set back and some ammo, but listen, that's the wrong message we're giving. We should be trusting in the Lord. You know, David says that I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. Let's trust in the Lord and do good. And what does he say here? He says what's going to happen is we're going to dwell in the land and we're going to be fed. Now, this word fed, I like it because I look it up and the word picture here is of a shepherd feeding his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How many of you have that kind of trust in the Lord? That you can say, I'm not saying not store up food or anything, but I want you to follow my train of thought. Let's say I don't have money and I can't. I don't have any guns, I don't have ammo, I don't have anything, but I'm just going to trust the Lord. Listen, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. God is bigger than anything else out there. I'm not saying we may not be persecuted. I'm not saying we may not go through hard times, but what I am saying is God is going to take care of you. Just keep trusting your Lord and doing good. Kids, just keep trusting your Lord and doing good. Now let's leave the third command. The third command is delight. Found in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What do you delight in? That's something we all should stop and ask ourselves right now. Listen, what do you delight in? What is your greatest source of pleasure right now? These questions are to be convicting to us. I mean, what is our greatest source of pleasure? Is it when things are going well in our life, when our circumstances are great, or when we have a lot of money, or our kids, when you have get your way with your parents and get to play more time on your video game or whatever? I mean, what is it that is our source of pleasure? Well, the Bible tells us it should be the Lord. That the Lord should be our greatest, chief pleasure and joy and delight. I want you to listen to what one preacher said, James Boyce. He said, "The reason many apparent Christians do not delight in God is that they do not know Him very well. And the reason they do not know Him very well is that they do not spend time with Him." Ooh, isn't that the truth? If we don't spend much time with the Lord, then obviously we're not going to know God very well. And if we're not going to know God very well, we're not going to delight in God. A lot of Christians look at this verse and like, how can I delight in the Lord? I mean, I delight in all these other things, but start spending time with Him. I was reading this morning in Psalm 9. There's a verse that caught my attention, verse 10. Psalm 9:10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So those that know God, they're not just going to delight in the Lord, but they're going to trust Him. Do you know God like that? I mean, you may say, well, I know Jesus is my Savior, but do you have such a relationship with God that you know Him as a best friend, as someone that's, you know, He's got your back. You know that He is going to meet your needs. You don't need to fret. You don't need to worry. You don't need to become angry with the wicked. You just need to trust Him. Delight in Him. Pastor James Merritt says that word delight literally means to take pleasure in. He goes on, he says, nothing or no one should give us more pleasure than God Himself. Nothing should take priority over your personal relationship to God. It is more important than your relationship to your spouse. It is more important than your relationship to your children. It is more important than your relationship to your business. It is more important than your relationship to anything or anybody. As a matter of fact, the better your relationship is with God, the better it will be with other people. I think he hit it right on the nail. I mean, right on the head of the nail. I mean, that is truth right there. Our relationship with God, there's nothing more important than that. Listen, that's the only way you're going to make it through whatever comes our way. Let it come. Because if you have a strong relationship with God, you're going to make it through. But if you don't have a strong relationship with God, listen, it's going to be bad. Because what can happen is you can begin fretting, you can begin worry, you can despair, and you can become hopeless, and you can begin making wrong choices in your life, and those choices lead to consequences. It's real, folks. We start not trusting God, and instead we're fretting. We're not delighting in the Lord, but we're delighting in ourselves or in pleasure and the things of this world. There are going to be some consequences. Yeah, you're going to get yourself in a place where it's going to be pretty bad. And then you're going to say, I thought you said God was good. I thought you said God loved His people. He does. But you made those choices. You chose not to trust in Him. You chose not to delight in Him. You chose to fret over your circumstances. And so God is going to let you suffer the consequences of your choices. That doesn't mean God's not good. He's good. Parents, isn't that what happens with our kids? Our kids, if they continue to rebel, we're just going to let them suffer the consequences. So they can learn and grow. If knowing God is not our highest joy and delight, then we don't know God very well. I like that part of that quote. But when the Lord is our chief delight, notice what He promises in this verse. Verse 4, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Isn't that amazing? This is a promise that if we delight in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our heart. Now that James Merritt, he adds something concerning this verse, and I want to read what he said. He said, let me give you a principle never to forget. When you want what God wants, God will always give you more than you want. When you want what God wants, He will always give you more than you want. See, some people might look at that verse, oh, God's going to give me a desire for this new car or for this new girlfriend or boyfriend or this or that, whatever, put in that blank. No, if you're delighting in the Lord, that means you're taking joy in what He wants in your life. You're taking joy in His will for your life. You're at one with God. You're not in opposition to God. You're at one with Him. And so if you want what God wants, guess what? He's going to give you more than you want. He's going to give you things that, personal desires that you do have. You're going to be amazed. Corrie ten Boom, she said something else that I wrote down. She said, look around you and you'll be distressed. Look around you and you will be distressed. Look within and you'll be depressed. Look to the Lord and you'll be at rest. We have a choice. We have a choice, people. We can look around us and be distressed by everything that's going on. We can look within ourselves and get depressed. Or we can look to the Lord and have rest. Look to the Lord. You know, I guarantee you, sooner or later, we'll run into things, plenty of things in our life that'll get us down. But making Jesus the joy and the light of our lives and trusting in Him, it's going to get us through. You can trust an unknown future to a known God. Let's look at the fourth command word is commit. Verse 5, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, He shall bring it to pass. So commit thy way unto the Lord. This word commit, the Hebrew word here literally means it has the idea of the word picture of this Hebrew word is someone that's loaded down with a very heavy burden on their back. I mean, they're carrying this big, heavy burden. Just imagine a huge boulder on my shoulders. I'm trying to walk through life with this heavy burden. The word commit means to roll that burden off to the Lord. That's what he's saying here. Don't be fretting about the wicked. Don't be envious of these evildoers. They may seem to be prospering, but listen, they're like grass. They're gonna perish. I mean, their judgment's coming. I read another quote of Spurgeon. I didn't put it in my notes, but something he was telling, giving an illustration, you know, because the theme in this psalm, it talks a lot about how we can look at the prosperity of the wicked. And as righteous, saved people, we're like, why do I have to go through all these trials and suffering? They seem to be prospering. And Spurgeon gave this story. He said, well, they may be well fed with the most luxurious food, but he said, you got to remember, they're like those that are on death row eating their last meal. Judgment, great judgment is fixing to happen. Now, are you envious? I'm not envious. I'd rather a little. He says in this chapter, if I can find, verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Amen. It's better just to have a little and keep on trusting my Lord. Not resting in all the things that I have stored up, but just resting in my Lord. Much better. Listen, if you're saved, if you know Jesus as your Savior, listen, you pass from death to life. Remember, we looked at that in John 5:24. You're no longer under condemnation, judgment. Jesus saved us from judgment. But the wicked, they're facing judgment. They're going to soon be cut down. God's going to judge the wicked. You can count on that happening. We need to just keep on trusting the Lord, doing good, delighting in the Lord, committing our way to the Lord. I think Peter, when he wrote 1 Peter 5:7, I know he was thinking about this psalm verse. You know 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your care upon the Lord, for He cared for you. That's the same idea here. taking that heavy burden that we're carrying, whatever that burden is. I don't know if it's a financial burden. I don't know if it's a health burden. I don't know if it's a child relationship burden or marriage. I don't know what that burden is, or just the unknown future. Take that burden and roll it over to the Lord. Cast your cares, your burdens to the Lord, for He cares for you. He cares. You can trust an unknown future to a known God. The last command is verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest. The idea of this word rest is to be still and wait on God. To be still and wait on God. And let me just say, you cannot rest in the Lord until you have trusted in the Lord. Until you are delighting in the Lord. Until you are committing to the Lord your way. You see, this is a progression here. To overcome fretting, we have to trust in the Lord. And we have to delight in the Lord. And we have to commit to the Lord. And we have to rest in the Lord. But you can't rest in the Lord if you're not trusting in the Lord. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know you're on the way to heaven, how can you rest in Him? If you don't know Him. You know, a lot of people are saying, I wonder if God really there. Is there really a God? Because they don't know God. Can you say with absolute conviction and persuasion of heart, I know Jesus, and Jesus knows me? If you can't say that, you need to get that cleared up today. Because there's no way you're going to go through hard times that may be coming, that are inevitable, really, in the Christian life, unless you know Him. But when you know Him, what a difference it makes. Well, it was so interesting this morning. Brother Curtis gave our devotion in our prayer time, and he went to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And we meditated on turn your eyes upon Jesus. And, you know, there in that, those two verses, talking about laying aside every weight, and he was talking about fear and anxiety. And I said, and he even used the word fret. I said, Curtis, that's my message. Did you steal my notes? And the weight, you know, I said, that's my fourth point. Commit to the Lord. So, I mean, it was neat. And then it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Turn our eyes to Jesus. And all the things of this world will grow strangely dim. The light of His glory and grace. Amen. You know, if you can't turn your eyes on Jesus if you don't know Him. When you're in that dark pit, you need to know Jesus. He's able to save and He's able to deliver. If you don't know Jesus, I would urge you today to come to Jesus. Put your faith and trust in Him. Know Him as your Lord and your Savior. I want you to notice something at the end of this psalm. In verse 39, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. So the salvation of the Lord, the salvation, he says, of the righteous is of the Lord. You know what that means? That means that salvation is not what you do. It's not you trying to do good and be a good person and going to church and acting right. But it's of the Lord. Only the Lord can give us salvation, and it's by faith. We look to Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He paid for our sins as the Lamb of God. He took away our sins. But listen, until you put your faith in Him, it's not put into your account. You don't become the righteous or a child of God until first you transfer your faith and trust in Jesus. You have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Resting in Him for salvation. You can't rest in the Lord in your trial as a Christian until first you rest in the Lord for salvation. You remember the story, if you listened Wednesday night to the Bible study, the story I gave about the missionary, he was trying to find a word for faith. In that language on that island, there was no word in their language for faith. And so he's trying to translate the Bible. He doesn't know what to put there for faith because they didn't have that word. And so there is one of the natives that came into his office and just plopped down on a chair. And his office said, "It feels so good to rest my weight in this chair." And it's just like a light came on. He said, "That's it. Resting your weight." And so that was what he put into the Bible for those people, that it means to rest your full weight on God. That's faith. That's faith. And let me tell you, Christian, resting in the Lord, it will free up your emotional energy to be more productive for the Lord. Because what it does, it removes a lot of unnecessary stress in your life. If you follow through what the Lord says here, fret not, trust in the Lord and do good, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, rest in the Lord. If you'll follow this in practice, listen, you're going to remove a lot of stress out of your life. Unnecessary stress. And you know what? You start moving that out of your life, your health's going to get better. Both physical health and your emotional health. It's going to get a lot better. Why do you think people are going nuts? Why do you think people are taking their lives? Why do you think all these things? Because they can't handle it. They're trying on their own. They're not resting in the Lord. They're not trusting in the Lord. Louisa Stead, she knew about resting in the Lord. You may not have ever heard the story about Louisa Stead. S-T-E-A-D is her last name. She was a faithful missionary to Africa from 1880 to 1915. Imagine being in Africa. I can't imagine that long ago how hard it must have been. I mean, even today, there's a lot of places in Africa that don't have the conveniences we have here. Boy, that was way before we even had them here. I can't imagine what it would have been like, but this woman, around the time that she was getting ready to leave with her husband to Africa, her first husband, she lost him tragically. Her husband, off of the shores of Long Island, New York, he was trying to rescue a drowning boy, and while he was trying to rescue that boy, he drowned himself. In response to that tragedy, she wrote this song. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise and to know thus said the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more." Imagine losing a spouse. I mean, she was going to the mission field. They were being obedient to the Lord, answering the Lord's call, and her husband dies. And she said, "This is so sweet to trust in Jesus. To just keep trusting my Lord." She went on and served 35 years in Africa. She made it through it by trusting in the Lord. Well, let me ask you this morning, are you trusting in the Lord today? Are you trusting in Him for salvation? You know, the Lord is our salvation. He is our strength in the time of trouble. We read that in verse 39. If you know the Lord, He will help you. He will deliver you. He will save you because you trust in Him. That's what He says in verse 40. No matter what comes our way, kids, no matter what comes your way, parents, no matter what comes, grandparents, church member, visitor, guest, those listening live stream, no matter what happens, if you're trusting in the Lord and doing good, barely, that's a promise, that's a certainty. You shall dwell in the land, and barely thou shalt be fed. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we're so grateful for Your word. Lord, what would we do without Your promises? What would we do without knowing You personally? Lord, there's so much turmoil around us. There's so much uncertainty. There's so much fear, anxiety. There's so much hopelessness around us, Lord. It's heartbreaking. And Lord, it's not just among the unsaved, but it's also among the saved. I mean, those that follow and know Christ, they're fearing what's going to be tomorrow. They're anxious about how they're going to pay the next bill, or they're worried about their children going to school. They're, oh Lord, we really needed these verses, these truths. I know I need them, Lord, because I know that it's very easy just to fret about everything and worry and get angry, and that's easy to do. Lord, I'm thankful that you've told us that we just need to trust in You. To just keep trusting, my Lord, and doing good. Just keep on serving, my Lord. Delighting in my Lord. Lord, help me to have You as my greatest joy and delight in life. Well, I know that that's not always true. I know sometimes, Lord, other things take Your place. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to delight in You. Lord, help me to commit my way to You. Well, I pray for all these parents and these students and that are going to school. I pray, Lord, that they would commit their way to You, Lord, this year. To just rest in You, Lord. Lord, we pray that You'd forgive us for underestimating Your power and underestimating Your sovereignty and underestimating Your wisdom and underestimating Your love for us and for not believing and trusting You like we should. God, help us to obey these commands of Scripture in Psalm 37. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus, that I pray today they will come and say, I want to be saved. I want to know how that I can be saved. I want to know Jesus. Well, I pray they'd come to this invitation, to the altar. We could show them how to be saved. Well, I pray for the parent that's struggling with letting their kids go to school this week and just fearful about the unknown future. I pray, God, that they would not be afraid of an unknown future, because they can trust a known God. Lord, help us to know You more. Help us to be like Paul, that I may know Him. God, help us to delight in You, want to know You more and trust You more. God, I pray. Lord, bless this invitation time. Lord, have Your way in us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have not already come,